funny because you just walked out of the room and said, think of something to start this with. And the first thing that popped in my head was, what would you do for a Klondike bar? I don't know why.
I didn't even know that that was still a commercial or that you would be able to access that.
Well, that's where I was going to go with that. First of all, I think Klondike bars are dramatically underrated. I think they're amazing.
The fact that it's like a square.
Yeah, it's awesome. But it was a thing that my mom bought us very rarely as a kid. It was like you got like one box for each summer month. And there was like six in a box. So it was like you better take care of these, you know.
Would you and your sisters like mark them off, like each sibling got two?
I don't think.
Or did Meredith get most of
them? I was about to say, Abby would have done that. Meredith would have eaten them all.
When we buy stuff like that, our kids, as soon as it comes home from the grocery store, they get out a Sharpie and they write their initial on whatever the equal division of those things
That's
would be.
Amazing.
And they also, our version of that is when school's on a break or something like that, then Christy will buy either Lucky Charms or Cap'n Crunch, but not during school because obviously, you know, their brains would not be able to do any classes if you were eating like Lucky Charms for breakfast.
That's amazing, man. But I think, okay, the question I was going to ask is like, what is a thing from your childhood food wise that you miss at this point? Which like, I don't know if Klondike bars would be my answer. I really don't know. I definitely could kill a Klondike bar at about 9 a.m. this morning. But
yeah, but see, I couldn't, even though I really, really want to, because I've become lactose intolerant. I don't even get to enjoy a Klondike bar until we get to heaven.
Lactose intolerant eats queso.
You need to
air quotes. It's funny, the idea that I just did air quotes on a podcast.
Yeah, it's just an audio medium. Nobody knows you're air quoting me.
That's amazing.
I would say I don't buy any like Little Debbie boxed things, but we used to have those in the house, like the oatmeal cream pies, those ones that were those little cakes that were shaped like Christmas trees.
Yeah,
they somehow had those all year round.
Yeah,
but they're clearly for Christmas.
Well, those trees do grow all year round, so they're
the Little Debbie trees grow all year.
Yeah, for sure.
They were white with like the red streamers and the green dots or something like that.
It's amazing. Do you think Paul Hollywood or Mary Berry would like those?
I absolutely guarantee. Well, is Mary Berry alive? Because she was replaced by Prudence.
I haven't made it that far.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know it happened.
I think Mary Berry might be dead.
Oh.
Do we have a fact check on that, anybody?
I don't know.
I don't know if she's dead. Prue is awesome, though. You're going to like Prue.
Okay. I just...
And the guy that played old Greg is one of the hosts.
Really?
Yeah.
Man. I just keep coming back to like Dunkaroos.
Wow.
You know what those are?
Yes.
And those little like tiny breadsticks that you dip in processed cheese.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Dude. What, did you ever have the ones that was like, it had the little red like stick.
The stick and then you would club crackers.
Paint them on the club crackers. Oh. Yeah. You're just yawning on this podcast.
Oh, I just got excited about it. So it made me sleepy. Oh, boy.
I have no idea what that means. Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a podcast about our childhood snacks. Did your mom ever buy fruit snacks for the house?
Yes. Scooby-Doo fruit snacks.
Wow.
Man. Yeah, they're so good. They're so good.
We literally just like finished a box of Scooby-Doo fruit snacks.
They're so tasty. My mom was the healthy snack mom. So it was like, if you found a pack of fruit snacks, good for you. They were always kind of hidden. But we never had anything unhealthy.
Does that mean like Lynn secretly liked the Scooby-Doo fruit snacks and he would hide them in the back of the pantry?
No, Lynn would have a top shelf box of Oreos. Like,
wow.
The thing that like my mom knew this, so she couldn't double down, but my best friend across the street's mom had like an open pantry with anything you wanted. If you wanted it, nice. You told her she'd get it. It was just like Oreos, fruit roll-ups, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, Coke.
Fruit roll-ups, that's like the thing your dentist would have to like have welding skills to get off of your teeth.
Yeah. It's the reason I don't really eat candy anymore. Probably.
That's awesome. The open pantry, man. There was always that one mom of your friends that had like the open pantry, just like bottomless chocolate milk and root beer and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was Lee Foxworth. That's exactly who that was.
I have a Bible verse that like I can never read this outside of the interpretation that we all heard coming up in this church from Tom Job, which is awesome because, well, one, it's like the correct, you know, exegesis of this Greek thing. But for some reason, the NIV translation of this verse, they always get it the opposite of the way that he's always explained it to us. And I just think that's super interesting. But this stood out to me this week for a couple of reasons. I just started reading the book of Revelation again, which, by the way, is the only book in Scripture that gives you a specific blessing if you read it, and also if you hear somebody else read it to you.
Yeah, it's super cool. Yeah, you have to read it.
Yeah, it's just a kind thing.
One time about 6 years ago, I mentioned that I hadn't read that, and Tom was like, "You're just missing out on being blessed."
There's an actual blessing.
I mean, I was like, yeah, I've read parts of it, but I've never just like sat down and read the thing. And he was like, you should do that.
There's an audio Bible called the Bible Experience, which is the entire Bible read by different African-American actors and musicians. And they actually get specific actors to be specific like people and authors in the Scriptures. And the guy that they got to read for the Apostle John, so he reads the book of the Gospel of John. He reads the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He reads the book of Revelation. Is LeVar Burton, the Reading Rainbow guy.
Nice.
If you want to talk about a throwback to childhood, that's it for me.
Yeah, I can smell Miss Anderson's classroom.
Wow.
When you say that. That's so weird.
Trudy Anderson? No, no, Marsha Anderson.
Yeah, Marsha Anderson. Yeah.
Wow. Butterfly in the sky.
So good, man.
I loved Reading Rainbow.
Yeah, and they would roll it in on that strap. I was still part of the like strap TV day.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, on the TV cart.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't take my word for it. But LeVar Burton reads the book of Revelation. If you just like, it's one of those things, I think it's the triple blessing. It's like, you're blessed if you read it. You're blessed if you hear it. You're triple blessed if LeVar Burton reads it to you. So,
he probably listens to our podcast.
I guarantee you LeVar Burton listens to this podcast. Revelation chapter 2, Jesus writes letters to the seven churches that are like in Turkey. And in the church of Ephesus, he typically in these letters, he'll have something good about them, something bad about them. There's a couple exceptions. And then like a specific blessing. He talks about something specific about himself. It's a cool little template he lays down in these letters. In the first letter that he writes to the church at Ephesus, he says in verse 4, "I hold this against you. You have forsaken..." I'm reading from the NIV, so I'm just going to read the way it says it. "I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first." The Tom Job interpretation, which is just the, you know, the interpretation of the actual Greek words here, is that Jesus wasn't saying you've lost the love you had at first. What he actually says is you've forsaken your first love. And he says, go back, repent, and do the first things. And so they've translated this, the love you had at first. Like when you first accepted Jesus, that was the best version of your relationship with Jesus, period. And so what you need to do is go back to the way you felt when you first accepted Jesus. But what Tom says is that phrase, that word first, it could mean first in a sequence of events, which is the way they're translating it. Or it could mean a first in like your list of priorities, like your top 10 favorite movies, your top 10 favorite Little Debbie snacks, you know, it's probably going to be oatmeal cream pies for me, not for you.
Mm, that's one of the things that I'll reach for and I'll think, oh, it's not as good as I thought it was. It's probably like number eight.
Wow. No, well, number eight out of like, it's the bottom of the barrel for you in the top 10. Wow.
I'd still eat it.
The worst one is that brownie with the colored sprinkles.
See, that is probably number one for me.
Really? The cosmic brownie?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just goes to show, man. It takes all kinds. Yeah. So it couldn't. So what Tom says is, and this is true, is it could either be first in a sequence of events or first in like first place, most important, all that kind of stuff. The way that you denote the difference is if it has the sequence through time or the sequence of events, then it means that one. If not, it means first place. So because we don't have a list of things that happened in time, he's not saying the love you had for me at first. He's saying you have forsaken your most important love. My relationship with Jesus, my personal love for him, is the most important love in my life. And the thing that I need to do if I'm dry, if I'm struggling, is I need to stoke the fires of that love, that most important love. I bring this up for a couple of reasons. One, I love that verse. And I love thinking about that, but also like, so I just got to officiate Jake and Nina's wedding, and which means like I just got through doing their premarital counseling. I'm doing premarital counseling for like two other couples right now, besides the ones we just finished. And also in the midst of that, Christy and I just celebrated our 19th wedding anniversary. And there's this thing that I always tell couples in premarital counseling, and it always burns me up every time, like, we have an anniversary and celebrate it and people are like congratulating us or whatever. And they'll always say this thing of like, you guys are so lucky that you found each other. And I always like, just, I pitch a fit about that. Cause I'm like, no, that's not the way marriage, it's not the way marriage works. We're not lucky that we found each other. We didn't like, we just so happened to find the person that we were made for. And so that makes our love work. No, like, no, we have put the work in. Mm. We have tenderly cared for this. We have been intentional about learning to get along and learning how each other think and talk and learning what buttons not to push and like how to work this out. And it's like, my relationship with Jesus is not different. I don't need to go back to that moment when I met the Lord. I need to continue to figure out how our friendship works, continue to figure out how we talk to each other, continue to figure out how to quiet my heart and listen to him, not give up approaching him every day. And even when I have days where like I read scripture and I don't really get anything out of it, which happens, that I try to put on some music about the Lord and it just doesn't really move me. Like push through those days and keep going to that first love, that most important love, in the same way. And the cool thing is like, there's this moment that happens for me, like when I officiate a wedding, where like I look out in the audience and I see my wife of 19 years and I'm like, man, which she's kind of ageless. Like she looks the same as the day that we met. And yet like, I'm like, we're doing it. We're growing old together. You know, she's almost 40. I'm 41. And like, I love that, like, she's my first love, you know, and that my relationship with Jesus, that I need to pursue it and not give up on it and think about it in that same way.
And it's awesome. I don't know if you've ever, like, every once in a while I'll open an old journal. I'll be like moving them to somewhere else. I just have them from like 2014, you know, and like for you, that's different. But for me, I was a 20-year-old.
Right.
So like to read some of those prayers is pretty cringy. And like, you know, it's even more cringy when you stumble across like 17-year-old Thomas who just like thought, maybe I'll try to journal. And it's like, whoa. And just the thought of like trying to go back to that. And even like,
we should do a sweepstakes where we give one of those away and to a listener.
Nope.
LeVar Burton gets his hands on your 17-year-old journal.
Read it for his reading.
Butterfly
purposes.
In the sky.
But I, like, there's also times where like, there's been a couple of times where Maddie has, or I have like pointed out something from one of our first dates, and it's just like,
oh, wow.
I'm like, wait, I said that. or like, you know, like I did that. I thought that was a good idea. Like one time she pointed out to me, like on like our second date, we had stopped at a gas station and she went in to get an icy and I was pumping gas. She like was walking back to the car and saw me smell my hand and like, and like, it was just so funny. And just to think of like how cringy I probably was that early. I'm very thankful because somehow she still fell in love with me. But like,
Amen.
Yeah. But it's also just like, oh, I love, you know, we've been together for like 15 months, not even that long.
Isn't that like such a great sentence that you just had for the whole of the gospel? Like, I'm so lucky that like, in spite of all my cringiness, somehow he still fell in love with me.
Yeah, it's so funny. I'm so thankful for it. Yeah. Anyways, I don't have anything else to add to that, really.
It's like, hey, let's not give up putting the work in for our most important love. Let's just keep stoking those fires. Let's go on dates. Let's talk. Let's get to know each other. Let's keep working this out.
There's a place in 2 Chronicles where Jehoshaphat is king. First of all, just great name. Like, can you imagine?
Jehoshaphat.
You're calling roll in your class. Jehoshaphat, here.
He's like I feel like he should be like on the stage with DJ Khaled. Like DJ Khaled like brings him up. He's like his hype man.
There's a moment though where like it's described as a vast army is coming against you.
What
like,
chapter did you say?
2 Chronicles 20.
Okay.
And it just feels like all hope is lost, basically. And he stands up and says this prayer in front of like the assembly of Judah at Jerusalem and just stands up and says this whole thing. But my favorite part is at the end. He says, "For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you."
Mm. Wow.
It was kind of funny. I was actually reading this last night by the light of my phone, and sorry, that's disgusting sounding. And I was thinking about some other stuff, like in the other half of my brain while I was reading this.
Yeah.
And I got like 10 verses past this, and I was like, wait, I think I missed something really sweet there. And I went back and I read it, and I was like, wait, that is really sweet. I have no idea what it's like to be in war at all. I was afraid to play paintball when I was in high school. Like I can't even get close to the idea
you
of it.
You should have been, your friends were ruthless.
Yeah. I was not like good at that stuff. I was always too in touch when we played football. Like
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was the quarterback who was too in touch. Like
I'm all time QB too in touch. You got the orange penny on.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So like, nothing I can relate to at all.
Know that.
Yeah.
That is such a great little trivia piece.
Yeah, Jeffrey's going to respond to this on Thursday and
oh
be like, ha.
Oh, gosh. Jeffrey's so huge. He's ready to take any paintball pellets and yeah, any sure. tackle.
Yeah, but I was not. But I do, like, I love the sentence, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Mm. That's just such a helpful thing. And I think, like, I feel like, was it last week we were talking about or knows, yeah, it was last week or 2 weeks ago, we were talking about a thing that we often find ourselves praying. And like, I think I say that to the Lord all the time. Like, I do not know what to do right now. I need your help. And that like, it's coming from a sincere place. And I think he knows that. And I think it's so sweet to think about like a king of old saying like, man, I don't know what to do. Like, I guess I'm a leader of an army and I have no idea what to do. Mm.
Yeah.
And I'm not a leader of an army. I'm not a leader of much anything. I don't go into battle, but I do know there are many days when I get up and, or when I get in my car or when I'm driving home from work or whatever the thing is where I'm at work. And my prayer to the Lord is, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And it's super helpful to read that back then. And there's actually like it follows up later.
Yeah. This is an awesome chapter.
Yeah. Because the Lord answers them and he says, "For the battle is not yours, but God's. And don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army." And it just felt sweet that there was a really sweet prayer and then a really sweet answer from the Lord. And it made me think of that Kirk Franklin song where the choir just keeps going and they literally quote that, like, the battle's not yours. It is the Lord's.
Yeah, that's right.
And that is such a sweet thing to feel like I can dump things on him. You know, like, I can't handle this. I don't know what to do. I'm asking you for help. I'm looking on you and I'm just going to say, this is yours. So I need you to take care of it for me.
I love that. And I love, and bravo to the restraint that you just had for not telling us how this chapter ends. Cause it's freaking amazing that, like, after all of that, they have no, like, the battle strategy is Jehoshaphat brings forth a choir and has them sing.
Oh, I haven't made it that far yet.
Oh, my bad.
Wow.
It's amazing. Like, the battle, just kidding. Literally the strategy is, let's sing to the Lord. Hmm. And the Lord just, like, demolishes their enemy.
It's amazing.
You know, and it's like, that's the battle strategy is, we don't know what to do. We're not strong. We don't have the ability to do this. So let's just sing as loud as we can.
Mm.
And that's like how the fight gets won. Wow. Is like, well, I'm just going to, like, sing worship song. Here we go. Let's belt it out. Mm. So I was like, dang, that's amazing. You didn't even tell them the really awesome part of the
thing. It's awesome.
I didn't mean to spoil it for you.
No, it's okay.
But I love that like, there's a phrase that we're leaning heavily on Tom this morning, but there's a phrase that that Tom says, which is, when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how to pray. Like, you know you can pray at anything. And so, like, that's where you let off with this of, like, I can just go to the Lord and say, I don't know what to do, my eyes are on you. And you can sing. Mm. You know, and the idea that, like, that's a battle strategy in the spiritual war.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. And I love that Kirk song too.
It's so good. But greater is he.
That's what it says.
Hey, yo, 1, 2, 3.
Mm. Get up, we got victory. That's a great song. And I feel like, if we assembled all the listeners of this podcast and then had, like, a Little Debbie tournament, I just really feel like oatmeal cream pie would come up ahead of cosmic brownie.
Well, I think, I mean, you throw in, like, the three other listeners we have, it's not really a good tournament.
It's like the actual state of college football.
Yeah.
Which,
bummer.
And now you're sad. Guys, thanks so much for listening. If you want to send Thomas some cosmic brownies, is that what they're called?
I think so. I will not eat them. I'll just say it. Don't send them to me. Please don't. They'll go bad.
But if you want to send some cosmic brownies to 14-year-old Thomas.
He would eat them.
Or 9-year-old Thomas.
No, yeah, he would very
eat them. That boy would have inhaled them.
Yeah.
Sheesh. Thanks for listening. I'm Lee.
And I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
I'm grateful for this opportunity to lead again. And grateful because this is an awesome song to sing and worship to. God is still here with us. So we want to encourage you, let's worship to this song. When I've had enough, and this life is too much, and I just want to run away. When I am underneath the weight of everything, and there is nothing left to say, you gotta remember that you're here with me. You can't help but hear. God, you're here with me. And you know how it feels when every move I make brings more heartache, and there is nothing left to do when when I am all alone and no face feels like home. I know one thing is so true, that you're here with me. Can't help but hear God. Oh, you're here with me, and you know how it feels. God, you're here with me, and you can't help but heal. God, you're here with me, and you know how it feels. And you're here with me. You can help and heal. God, you're here with me, and you know how it feels. You're here with me, God, and you can help and heal. You're here how I feel. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior.